It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Here it comes again, lunch. Will it be the same old, or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning, just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery. Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning, just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
I'm I got a little.
It's still connecting.
I got dots on him.
I got dots on him. Oh, there he is. We're gonna record. Okay, Connor. Okay, Connor.
Not okay. I'm not okay with this.
You're not okay with what?
That's fine. Go ahead, start.
Okay. Just so we know, we're going to start out with Benevolent Leader. That's going to be the first topic we go to, and then we'll just go into stories of our adventures in the Commonwealth. So you guys ready to begin?
Hey, what's Benevolent Leader? I'm not.
Benevolent Leader.
That's like when you become
the trophies.
It's a trophy.
I'll explain it.
We'll explain it. Connor, you're last in the names, okay?
All right.
Ready? And let's... Next? What was it?
Is it you, me, Joe, Connor?
Correct.
Correct. That's correct. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Soul Survivors. My name is Ryan.
This is Marla.
This is Joe.
And I'm Connor.
And we are going to be talking about none other than Fallout. I'm sure things will come up such as, you know, just video games in general. But we are going to make sure every episode at least has a little bit of Fallout 4, just because that's a game that we all kind of agree on, right? Amazing? Agree on?
Yeah.
We all played. Yeah.
I mean, it's all right.
We can
it's
all appreciate right.
it. So we're going to start out every episode with a trophy hunter slash achievement topic. And since Marlo has a platinum with Fallout 4, yes. We're going to be talking about Benevolent Leader today.
So I guess that's me, right?
That is you. I mean,
okay.
You're the only one out here that's done it.
Yes.
You can pretend to be Marlo if you want.
Well, there for a minute, Ryan and I were both racing to try to get this trophy first. Of course, he was trying to double-cross everyone in Fallout, so he ended up glitching out his game pretty severely bad. So, for whatever reason, he couldn't unlock a couple different trophies, but I ended up getting this trophy before him.
Mm. Why'd you have to say that?
To rile you up a little bit.
All right.
Anyway... So it's been a while since I unlocked this. At the time that I unlocked this, there was a lot of hearsay of how to do it. a lot of different people were saying different things, which settlement to do it in. You had to unlock certain points in the game. Basically, specifically what I'm saying is the one thing that I read was, and I think this came from Reddit, basically one of the criteria was it would be 10 points above your current charisma rating is what your, I think your people had to be in the settlement. So basically, if I had a charisma of 10, it had to be 10 plus that. So I would have to have 20 people as a minimum in my settlement to be able to reach the max happiness, which I found out isn't in fact true. So basically what I did was, is I did this in Sanctuary. Mainly I did it in Sanctuary because I had already started up there and it would have been too expensive to pick up everything and move to a different settlement. So what I did was, long story short, I probably got this trophy with, I think, like 10 people in my settlement, and I had, I think, like 8 level 3 clinics all over, and I just sat and I waited for probably a good 5 to 6 hours.
And that's 5 hours real time. Right.
Real time, yes, real time. Now, I did see a lot of people saying, and again, this was on Reddit, saying like, oh, go sleep for 24 hours, then you'll see your happiness go up, which I didn't see that happen. I kept sleeping multiple times, and I would wait and wait and wait. My happiness never went up, so I don't know if it was a lucky coincidence for them or if something wasn't right in my game. Regardless, my defense was like 520, but I still had enough food to feed everybody. But it just took a lot of waiting. Like Ryan clarified, it was 5 to 6 hours of real time. And basically what I did to make it go a little bit faster, once I hit the 99, I think it was like 98-99% to happiness, I just started spamming out copper statues everywhere.
And that's because you're a big cheat who does so the...
Yeah, there's a copper cheat. If you go and buy a shipment of copper, you could duplicate it, which is how I got so much copper to be able to spam it out. But regardless, you could do it with paintings, you could do it with really any of that stuff just to try to accelerate that.
So one thing you brought up, the charisma thing.
Yes.
So it does come into play because your max is still determined by your charisma, but it has nothing to do with Benevolent Leader.
I believe so.
Because I have 7 charisma, and I can only allow 17 people before I can no longer send somebody to a settlement.
Oh, so. Okay. I didn't explore that, so I didn't know what that was entirely. Maybe that's probably what the confusion was, is to hit that max to be able to get that, which you don't need at all.
I still haven't got it.
Is there a cap for that. Certain settlements, actually, of how many settlers can be in it? Like, Red Rocket's really small. Can you have 20 people in there with max charisma?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, like, once I beat the game, I had nobody at, like, you know, almost... most of my settlements were the castle, and I had a bunch of people at Sanctuary. But as soon as I beat the game, every time I would show up in a new settlement, 17 people would just be standing there waiting, because that's my max. And every settlement I went to, there were 17 people just waiting. And I was like, well, I don't have the resources to take care of you guys. Here's some sleeping bags. Have fun.
And that was the other part of the most important part that I forgot to bring up was to get that max or the biggest settlement. I forget what the terminology they used was. That has nothing to do with the many people that you have in your settlement. It has to do with how much crap is in your settlement. That's why I was spamming out the copper statues, because that makes that bar go up higher to where I had it completely maxed out and I couldn't place anything else. I couldn't even place paintings, none of that. And that's how it was making my happiness go up. So that's not dependent on the number of people that you have in your settlement.
Right. So it should be called Benevolent Hoarder, not Benevolent Leader.
Because my sanctuary does look like shit. Because there are so many copper statues everywhere, yes.
I mean, it just sounds like in order to platinum out in this game that you should just stay out of the wastes. I mean, if you're in your settlement for 5 hours of real time, that's 5 days in gameplay, right? I mean, you're supposed to be out there looking for your son and all this other stuff. And no, just hang around Sanctuary. It's okay.
Well, at this point, when you're just hunting for trophies, I guess that doesn't really matter. I already completed the game, and I was too afraid to leave the settlement because I noticed anytime I did fast travel to go to another settlement to grab supplies, Sanctuary's happiness would go down a couple points, and that was completely random how far it would go down, so I just ended up staying there. I actually, when I was still beginning to try to get this trophy, I left my PlayStation on literally all night and into the next work day until I came home from work, and I saw I still wasn't even, like, I was probably at, like, 74 for happiness, so it was very aggravating that was on for, like, 15 hours.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth it, but I'm going to do it just so I can be as cool as you. So. Well, after that...
That sounds like an accidental compliment.
After that, I kind of wanted to go to Connor, because he has beautiful builds he's working on with Fallout.
Oh, yeah. Right now, I'm currently playing Alex. Alex is my primary character. Now, I haven't finished the game with any of my profiles right now because I'm just so engrossed in the roleplay aspects of Fallout. Right now, I am... Let's see exactly where I am. I'm right on Spectacle Island right now, which is probably my favorite place in the game just because of that little like boss fight you have to do with the Mirelurks there to acquire it. But I've built a little city and a giant hangar bay for all my power armor here. So what happened is I decided to go with Kate as my first companion with Alex because, you know, we were both heavy drug users running around in the wasteland, you know, shooting up Psycho, you know, killing raiders and shit. And I figured, hey, let's get together and, you know, kill raiders together since that's something we're both passionate about. Me and Kate went on some crazy adventures. We stabbed some super mutants in the face. Good old times. And eventually she came to me and she was telling me, well, you know, I'm starting to have problems with, you know, my addiction. Life is getting too weird. I can't handle this anymore. I really need your help. So, of course, we went, and we got her detoxed, and I helped her out a little bit there. And I'm still using drugs because I can't stop, you know, me, guys, all the shit I tell you at work about what kind of life I live. But what happened is that after we detoxed her, you know, she wanted to settle down a little bit. We, you know, kind of fell into a relationship as a result. And so I've built her this little farming village on Spectacle Island, and right now she's tending to it, you know, Viking style, where the woman takes care of the household, while the man runs off and raids and steals stuff for her. And that's kind of that. She's right now she's farming potatoes actually as we speak. I've decided since then to kind of hang out with MacReady a little bit because I really want to like raise him to take care of my other settlement that I had over at the drive-in theater because that place is booming right now. There's like there's almost like 20 people there actually right now. All the businesses are really taking off, and I just need somebody who can manage the resources of that town while I'm out and about because I don't have the time to take care of every single large settlement by myself. I mean, I'm only one man.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Sorry, we just had a nuclear explosion.
Yeah, I set off a mini nuke.
Lost contact.
Technical.
These things happen.
But you're all back. Everybody's back?
Back.
See, this is why Skype, you know, as lovely as it is, can get a little frustrating.
Brought to you by Skype.
Brought to you...
However, can we talk about the time that Connor came in and told me that he was very proud of this, mind you. He proclaimed, well, guys, I did it. I wiped out all of Good Neighbor.
Because oh, yes, the cleansing of Good Neighbor.
All ghouls are evil, which I wanted to punch him in the face because I love ghouls.
It was a great day.
Marlo's got a ghoul affinity.
That's for my character Jax, actually. Jax is... He's a you know, protector of the waste, savior of mankind kind of guy running around in power armor. He refers to himself as the Red Rocket because of his red colored power armor, and also because I built his base of operations at the Red Rocket gas station, which actually is very lovely. If you haven't checked out Red Rocket or really play around in Red Rocket, there's a lot of really nice room on top of the gas station itself to build stuff in, so you can have a lot of fun there. But I decided as that character I was going to be like a humans only. Sort of like Brotherhood of Steel character, and as so far I've pretty much wiped out every non-human thing that exists right now, which pretty much an enemy against the railroad. It was kind of sad that I had to do that right off the bat, but if they're assisting synths, I mean I can't allow that because we need to wipe out those goddamn Cylons as quick as possible.
Well, so obviously. Tell me a little bit more about your superhero, because I know your build it's pretty smart.
The build's pretty creative. I spent a lot of time, and I spent most of my points sinking it into endurance, strength, and actually, normally I would have gone with luck, for this build, but I went with an intelligence so that I could get the science modifications for my power armor and build a Tesla armor. Because at that max of intelligence, you get the Nerd Rage perk, which increases your damage while you're at low health. With endurance, you only need to get to 9, and you can get the perk that allows you to regenerate health while you're taking radiation damage, which is really, really convenient when you're in places that are very high radiation, because usually very powerful enemies are chilling out there. And the most important part for the build, though, is strength of 10, because then with Pain Train, I can, and with a maxed out Tesla armor, I can literally just walk through enemies and then have them fall over dead. Huh. So, you know, like a superhero. Now, if you want to, you can, instead of doing, instead of like going with the ghoul ecology or going with the endurance, you can go straight for luck. And with max of luck, luck 10, you can get that perk that allows you to bounce bullets off you, and that instantly kills enemies with a random chance every time they shoot you. Some people would say that would be more effective than going with endurance, but because in early game, it's very difficult to avoid large amounts of damage because you don't have a lot of power cells and can't use your power all the time. I went with the endurance perk. That way I have a lot more health and I can just handle a little bit more damage from enemy gunfire.
But eventually you want to have the luck to 10 so you can just be bulletproof.
Right, and that's something I'm going to have to do. That's something once I really, you know, get a bunch of the perks I need now for, I'm just going to start sinking stuff into luck, because I actually only have a luck of 2, which is horrible. So I'm really gonna have to max it out. I decided not to do the cheat to increase your stats in this particular game, mostly because I just couldn't figure out how to do it, and then got mad at Marlo for knowing how to do it, and just rage quit. But I think it's gonna take me a while to really max out this particular character, just because I have to have so many level 9, level 10 special stats.
So is he in a relationship?
Not currently. I've just been picking up random companions as I go along and sending them to the different settlements I discover, because I'm going to do something with them later. But because my charisma is really low, I can't do local leader, which is something I really ran into with a problem at Red Rocket, because now I can't build armor there because there's no armor stand there by default, and I can't build a vendor there to sell my stuff to. So I actually might have to end up relocating my entire base to somewhere else. I might end up just using Diamond City, honestly, since everything you need is right there.
There was a power armor stand.
There's a power armor stand, but there's not a armor crafting stand.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to just make my power armor
better. I
didn't
know that was different.
Yeah, I want to like be able to, at my base, make my regular armor better.
You do know it doesn't matter what kind of armor you wear under the power armor, right?
So wait, you're telling me if I'm wearing power armor, what's underneath doesn't matter?
Not at all.
Right.
Not even a little bit.
I'm just going to get naked then.
You could be
the
naked.
Rest of my time in the wasteland, actually, if that's how that goes.
When I get my power armor, I wear a suit.
Really?
Yeah. And then when I get out, I look all suave.
I'll just do that with that fat guy and Live, Die, Repeat does. I'll just get naked and then hop into my power armor. And, you know, because I got to be free. Be free running around the wasteland.
I think that's your best bet.
I really thought it would have been a great thing if they had it layering up, but I actually tested it a few different ways, and it doesn't help you at all. Like, I thought you'd be able to, like, layer these things up, and now you're wearing not just your power armor, but all kinds of layers of armor, but it just doesn't matter.
That's what I had assumed, because it talks about in the game how you don't gain the benefits of power armor, well, like, when there's nothing, like, equipped to the slots aside from the strength increase and the movement effects. So I was under the impression that when, let's say, my power armor arm gets destroyed, my armor arm underneath would apply. Is that not correct?
That might actually be true.
No,
it's not. I looked.
It's not? You actually looked into that? I just had a fully equipped suit of power armor, and I jumped into it, and then I thought, well, let me try some other things. So I equipped some different under armor, effectively, and it doesn't change anything. You can take it all off. It's the same stats.
So what that makes power armor very kind of a pain in the ass then, because if your power armor degrades, you're essentially wearing nothing underneath and taking bonus damage.
Yeah, correct. Effectively.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, that sucks.
Now, I don't know about perks.
The power armor is the one type of armor in the game that can actually take damage and be destroyed.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're wearing something underneath that has some kind of perk, like, you know, as far as, like, causes more damage to mutants, that kind of thing, I'm not sure if that translates. I would hope so.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah, I mean, never really thought into that.
But people could take advantage of it. You could have like plus 25%, you know, damage against mutants, because one of my arms is against mutants, the other one's against ghouls, like as far as like bonuses.
Right.
True American.
But thank you. But I don't know if like I'm wearing power armor with, you know, similar bonuses if something's going to get messed up. I would hate to glitch anything again.
Oh, that's going to happen the way you play.
I play aggressively, okay? I'm sorry.
You don't do a choose-your-own-adventure. You do a play all of the adventures.
Play all the adventures at once until your PlayStation blue screens every hour. So.
Yeah, good times.
Where's
it would
Marla?
Be great, though.
Oh, I'm right here. I'm just listening to you guys talking about Ryan trying to quadruple cross all the factions and effectively breaking his game.
There are points where I not only quadruple cross, but I tried every way to get out of it. I even went to the Institute and blew my son's head off just to see if that would fix the rift, but it actually closed every trophy. And it just said, you know, like it was like, well, mission failed, mission failed, mission failed, mission failed. And I was like, why is a mission failed? And then I had to run out of there with everybody screaming at me. And then there's a point where you're just killing all these Institute scientists. Like, I shot off, I don't know, two or three mini nukes just right by that elevator, just to give them hell. I was like, oh. And then when
they're on the intercom yelling at you.
Yeah,
when it's your son.
These people. They made such a great elevator. It works after being hit with two mini nukes.
Yeah, that's true. But I got in the elevator, I got to the top, and that's when the intercom started, and they were like, how could you do this? It was your son! And it was like, because I'm trying to get an achievement.
I'm just hearing Obi-Wan right now. You are the chosen one!
You are no son of mine.
It was your son!
That's something that bothers me, actually, about the plot of this game. Now, I've never had kids, and then be cryogenically frozen, and then woken up 200 years later to my child being older than I am, but if I were to be in that situation, I don't know if I would consider that person my child anymore, because they've lived their entire life without me. I never had a bearing on their upbringing. I guess by blood he's my son, but is he my son? Or is he some other man's son?
Let's be honest, he works.
Once I got to know Sean a little bit and how much he differed from the way that I viewed the Wasteland, the way that he viewed a lot of things. And there were a couple things that he said that sent up a red flag for me, where I'm like, this, even though he may be my son, there's nothing there anymore. I mean, he was brought up in a completely different environment by different people. Blood might still be there, but I mean, I had no connection to him by the end of the game. So in my playthrough, I ended up siding with the Brotherhood, and I had no qualms about destroying the Institute. I mean, what they did to my son, I felt was completely wrong.
Well, Ryan, you might have some insight into this because you try everything. They're at the Institute. I mean, you could probably get a DNA test going pretty easy in this facility, right? I mean, it wouldn't be too tough.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. I know you haven't beat the game, Joe, but I mean, there's definitely a little bit of maybe at the end, depending on what choice you make,
questionable.
Like, who he really is. But I mean, you know, it depends on how you want to go about it. I mean, you know, I think it's a fact that you've been asleep that long, but we don't know. It could be questions. I'll tell you when his head blew off. He's human. I'll give it that. He's human.
It wasn't synthy parts?
No, it wasn't synthy. He didn't have anything on him. If it was my son, he would have had some nice shit.
But okay, speaking I don't actually mind this being spoiled. So what was the purpose of replacing people with synths? Is that because synths are immune to radiation?
Yeah, it was to help with the work.
Huh.
Originally.
But like helping people with work would be like an iRobot thing, but they're like, no, this person's gone and here's a synth who looks like him.
Well, no, that's the replacement. That came much later.
Yeah, but that's weird. How can anybody pick that?
That's why the Institute is bad.
They're not bad.
Shadow organization, you want to replace people who are hurting your organization with people who look just like them, who are going to act like them, but side with you. It's a totally valid strategy if you're trying to do a hostile takeover. I mean, it's what the aliens are doing right now here on Earth. You know, there's shape-shifting reptilians from space, you know, replacing the Queen of England and President Obama.
Truthism.com.
Hey, I believe the truth. Do you?
Not that truth.
I believe you're nuts.
You can't handle the truth.
A lot of things I can't handle, Connor.
But anyway, speaking as the only father or mother in the group, I was really, the first thing I wanted to do was find my kid.
You blew his head off!
Well, this is much later. This is when I had some doubts.
Him, and then I decided, no, you missed all those spankings, and all of that added up equals me.
The first time I killed him, I chopped his head off. The second time I did it, I blew his head off. I had an electrified Chinese sword.
In all of these times that you were double-crossing, triple-crossing, quadruple-crossing, pentacrossing people, did you not kill your son in any of these?
Yeah. The one I saved. I'm the leader of the institute. He died of natural causes, Joe.
At 64?
Yeah, I thought that was odd.
I mean,
they're in the institute. It's like the safest. No, it's at the institute. It's the safest place on planet Earth at that point.
Wouldn't it be too sterile in the institute? Any sort of virus or anything that gets down there could probably kill you instantly. Maybe even the common cold. I mean,
that was
kind of my interpretation of it. So clean and so sterile.
See, I got cancer out of it. That's what I got.
Yeah.
Not myself, but he did.
Cancer in the institute?
I'm pretty sure that's what he had.
Huh.
Just saying.
Maybe they should have replaced him with a synth.
Well, isn't that what we thought at first, Ryan, when we were discussing this? Is probably he was.
Yeah, synth? He could just be a really high level synth that just bleeds out all over the place.
And maybe theoretically, your actual son is out there somewhere, still a little boy or something.
No, the 10-year-old in the glass case, even though he shut down when he did that code. Marlo thinks that it's her kid, but it's not.
It's hypnosis.
I very much want it to be my kid.
Well, because you took him with you, like some crazy person.
Well, yeah, of course. Do that? I want to be able to reconnect with my child. I missed out on all that time, and I come back to see he's a 60-year-old evil man.
Okay, but you're just going to realize that he's going to be a 10-year-old boy forever, and then you're going to die looking at this little kid who's strangling you because his robot codes came in.
Well, as long as I have some good times with him.
All right.
That's all that matters. Oh, boy.
I did my part as a mother.
Because it's funny, because Marlo and I talked about it, not to, spoiler alert, I guess, but there's a point where you can choose to shut down every synth, right?
Yes.
And the little boy doesn't shut down.
No, he approaches you at the end
right
of
after
to come with you. So depending on which faction you choose when you double-cross the Institute as you're leaving and about to go back out, I guess that big teleporter room, that 10-year-old Sean that you initially saw runs up to you and immediately knows who you are. So in my game, I'm playing as his mother. So he's like, Mom, I want to come with you. And you have a couple dialogue options to say like, oh, you know who I am now. And you do have the option to take him with you. So despite me putting in that code to shut down all the synths to make it a little bit easier to get out of there, he still ran up to me and all of a sudden he knows who I am. So that caused a little bit of doubt in my mind.
I agree. But one thing to note, even if you tell him, no, you're not coming with me, you're a synth, get the hell away from me, he still comes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I try to play every angle.
Okay, because I didn't. Immediately, I was like, okay, come on, let's go, let's
You're
go.
My boy now!
Yes.
We're going to love boy. Each other.
I'm going to love you.
That brings up something else, though, that I just play and don't know because I haven't been into these style games for long enough. Are these stories coherent? Are they do they hold together no matter what you do? Like, your choice does not affect what the reality is.
What do you mean?
If you pick to shut down all the synths, does that suddenly make this thing that was a synth that is a synth if you choose not to shut down all the synths, does that turn it into a human being or something like that?
Sometimes it actually does change things in the background in games like this.
Yeah,
I actually kind of like that. That's
because,
really
like, when
cool.
I sided with the Institute, so pretty much I had to give this speech, right? And I was like, hey, we're coming. We're going to live next to you. If you don't like it, we'll kill you.
Yes,
and
I remember that speech.
You go down to, like, whenever you go into any town now, there's just synth just walking around shopping. and I actually had a question, Marla, because you shut him down, right? I didn't.
Yes.
Is our favorite companion still active?
Nick Valentine?
Yes.
I actually don't know. I think that was only for inside the Institute, wasn't it?
No, it's all over.
all over.
Yeah.
But how can I they do that? Because he's not connected anymore.
I think it's worth checking out.
What about Dance?
Do you mind to be spoiled with that, Joe? Can we
go
spoil
for it?
That?
Go for it.
So I actually ended up killing Dance because it's part of the storyline since they found out that he's a synth. So he runs away and you have to go find him, and I ended up shooting him for the sole fact that, so in our last podcast, we talked about Dance a little bit, and I do like him. So when you see him down that bunker, he kind of has a little bit of a speech, and he wants you to kill him because that's the number one mission, is get rid of synths. So he's already come to terms with he himself is a synth. So it was kind of admirable, I felt. So I ended up shooting him. So he has no, I guess, yeah. He's not there later in the game. As far as in my game, he wasn't there later to be affected by that, because I had already killed him.
It's really incredible that they have put together a game that's this detailed with this many options that can change so many different things, and yet only Ryan manages to screw it up.
No, there were several people on several forums. The last update fixed all of the glitches. I can now play, you know.
Yeah, I know, but if you're just going to pick a route and go with it, and that's typically what people do. They pick a route and go with it, and the next time they just pick something else. They don't try to do things every single different way. On average, it really seems to work. They've really put together a solid game here to do this.
Yeah.
A lot of other, all of these other games out there, so many of them are just so damn linear that, you know, there's just not really that depth that you can get into that really will affect the outcome of how the game ends.
Correct. And that I agree with. So with what Ryan did in his playthrough is he tried to quadruple cross everybody. He tried to kill the leader of the railroad. He tried to kill the leader of the Brotherhood. He tried to kill the leader of the Institute all at once. And the game kind of crashed on him to the point where he couldn't even walk across a certain point in the Cabot House.
Yeah, it was Cabot House.
So I actually just read today before we started recording this podcast that there is another man who went through and tried to play Fallout 4 without killing anyone in the game and ended up actually completing the game with zero kills across no creatures, no synths, no people, nothing.
What?
And that actually made the game crash too, because the game doesn't want you to not kill anybody. So as much as it broke your game to try to quadruple cross everybody, this man who tried to not kill anybody ended up breaking his game too. He ended up
so Bethesda wants you to kill someone,
but they don't want you to kill all these important people, because there was a point where I was on like everybody's kind of I guess you'd say like ignition mission, because like it's the mission that's going to start what the final path is going to be. So I had to kill the leader of the railroad. I had to infiltrate the Brotherhood. I had to, like, I was on everybody's final before you had to make a choice. And it was like, hey, you should have made a choice before you got this far with everybody. So there got to a point where I was just, you know, trying to get bobbleheads because I couldn't do anything else. And my last bobblehead was the Cabot House, when you have to go to the Insane Asylum. And it wouldn't let me go any further. Like, literally, I would go to the asylum and to get... What's the name of the ghoul?
Oh,
you would know. You're a ghoul lover. Ghoul lover.
I know, but...
Ghoul lover!
You're a ghoul lover!
Ghoul lover.
What is his name? Let me look him up while you talk about this.
So, in order to get the ghoul to contact you to start the Cabot House missions, which I love the Cabot House missions, you have to kill everybody at the asylum, all the paid help, and they kept respawning, and some of them would lie on the ground like with life bars. Like, I kill them and then they lay on the ground as if they're alive, and I can go up to them and they're blinking at me, and it's pretty scary. I have the video.
That's,
I need to put on YouTube's
hell.
Put on the YouTube's. What's his name?
Edward Deegan.
Deegan.
I love him.
Deegan. Those were cool missions, though. What's your favorite mission, Joe, so far? What's your favorite mission, Joe?
Favorite mission?
Yeah.
I really haven't done that many. I mean, I really am liking the main storyline. That just entering the Institute is such a huge change. But then again, entering the Glowing Sea is such a huge change from everything before as well.
I love the Glowing Sea.
I mean, just going to the Institute, it's just nothing like anything in any Fallout game you've ever seen before. So I don't know. I really liked it. I liked I liked getting the serum for the one doctor who's in the glowing sea. I thought that was a really cool.
Oh, I never got it.
Thing to do. You never got it? Okay, so you never went to the sealed off section of the Institute?
I think I did when I was in the middle of setting up those synth to escape, but at the same time I was also triple crossing them and
right.
Yeah.
No, so like you go to the sealed off section and it's very clearly old and it's protected by an Assaultron, which was just ridiculously difficult to beat.
So if you attack that Assaultron, does everybody in the Institute go after you?
No, the Assaultron is actually it's like a separate map from the Institute, so it's a separate area. So it loads a new map.
Oh, it even loads new. Okay.
Right. So it's actually like a new map, but it's protecting this thing, and there's all these turrets and things like that. Not too difficult if you can get past the Assaultron, but there's some stuff to read on a computer about what happened. Why was this program shut down? Why did this guy, you know, flee the Institute? Why is he in hiding and stuff like that? So definitely recommend it if you have any save games from before you changed everything about everything.
Well, I mean, I can get to the Institute. I just, you know, it's...
Oh,
it's
that's right, you can.
Yeah, I can get there. I wonder if I can still help him, even though I run the place now.
I don't see why not. I mean, the guy gave you, like, when he recommends you go to this thing or whatever, go to this area, he gives you that mission as well and says, you know, you should do this. Because he's the one who gives you the plans. He puts together these plans for you to build this thing so you can get to the Institute.
Well, I know the character.
Right. No, I'm just, you know, for the listeners, what's the matter with you?
Well, if they're hearing that, you're just ruining everything. I would hope they've gotten that far.
Oh, okay. But, you know.
We caution, spoilers, guys.
Jeez Louise.
This is a spoiler-laden show. It should be evident. Anyway, so he gives you this mission to get him like a serum as well, if you're in the area. And I just kind of stumbled across it. I never turned the mission on, but I'm in this lab and I come across it and I was like, oh, okay.
That's like the story of your life. Stumble upon it.
Yeah. But see, in the game, it worked out.
Well, I guess I can probably still do that mission. I might as well go and try and see what he transforms. Does he get to transform in the game, or is it like, oh, I'll take this after you leave?
Well, no, he takes it, and then he's like, oh, come back in a couple of days.
Oh, jeez.
And so you come back in a couple of days, and like it's a new model. I don't know. I never thought of actually just staying there and seeing if something happens. I'm guessing probably not.
No, of course not. Of course not. He'll just wake up.
That'd be a lot more
like programmed. All Bethesda games, how people just wake up.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just shot you in the face. Are you getting out of bed now? But it's an Assaultron.
No, that's what they do. If you actually go to the hospital, one of the things they do for everyone is they put them in a bed. So there's probably something to it.
Maybe. But it's an Assaultron that I would have to fight.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm kind of partial.
I have an assault rifle that makes enemies stumble like every third shot, and it fires pretty fast. So the Assaultron wasn't too difficult. I just had to stay out of the way of its I-beam thing.
I-beam thing.
The laser.
Apple product?
Could be. I could totally see Apple building something like that.
Yeah, I don't want to fight Assaultrons because of my love for Cleo.
Cleo. Another abomination who needs to...
Oh, my God. She is a woman, baby.
Robots are not
I'm
people.
A woman,
I'm
baby.
I'm sorry.
Can't you tell?
She is not... No, I love Cleo. She's probably my most favorite person in Good Neighbor besides Hancock.
Oh, you like him too? Goddamn ghoulies.
Yes, of course I do. You walk up to his little place and he has drugs all over the table. He doesn't care at all.
Oh, so wait. If you could not be a human, would you, Marlo?
Yes. So.
Oh my gosh.
In Skyrim, I only play as...
See, that would totally change the story. Because the ghouls have all been around since the bombs went off.
Yes. I would probably actually be a ghoul, which would be the closest thing to a human if I had the choice in Fallout. Because, like I said, in Skyrim, I don't play as humans at all. I just don't care for it.
You can't turn into a ghoul, can you?
I don't think so, no.
Hmm.
You get close with the ghoul perks, but you never actually gain ghoulish appearance, unfortunately.
Really? I figured enough radiation damage without healing it, you could at least get some scarring in. I mean, we're in the next gen here.
I'm pretty sure there's actually already several mods for PC available for that.
Yeah, but I'm not. I haven't played it on PC, even though I will eventually. But I have to catch up to Marlo, who brings up that she has platinum all the time.
Dude, you actually, can catch up to Marlo, no problem.
I actually only bring it up like twice a day.
I actually just wanted to bring up that I just platinum Final Fantasy VII yesterday. Ooh. So you have to catch up to me.
I don't. What is your trophy score? Is like a 4. You're like a 4.
I'm a 6, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm a 7, so let me know when you're in my league, and then we'll talk.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Until then, don't pronounce your trophies, because you're still a 6.
I know.
I'm
still new to this.
I'm a level 6. I platinum 2 things in the past 2 months. Congratulations.
How long have you been doing this, and you haven't platinum Fallout yet?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's a hang up button right here.
Fight. Kiss.
There's a hang up button. It's very close. Very close to being clicked. It's one of the nice things about holding the reins here.
Kick people right out of the house right away.
People right off. Yeah.
Get out of here, ghoul lover.
So I'm at an impasse right now. I can't decide which guns I want to carry around with me because I pretty much have everything at this point on my primary character's build. And since I have everything, I don't know what to do anymore. And that's kind of scary, actually, that I've reached a point.
You have all the guns?
I have everything. I can build anything I want. I can find anything I want.
I can think like a star.
I can drink like Gaston.
Where do you get the naval cannon from?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where is the naval cannon?
The broadsider, that's what it is.
The broadsider.
You have to find, there's a ship, like a boat on top of a bank somewhere.
Pirate
ship?
Yeah, if you go through that and you side with the robots, at least I sided with the robots, eventually really funny stuff happens because they're all insane robots who think they're part of the Navy,
right.
You get the broadsider as a reward for that, and I've actually never used it on. You know what? I'm gonna pull it out right now because I'm playing the game as we speak. I'm gonna shoot somebody in the face with it and see what happens.
How'd it go?
All
right, here we go. Broadsider. I'm gonna mod it first. Let's see what mods are available.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Gee, Louise Dreyfus.
You can lighten the barrel. That's nice. I'm gonna do that. That's a lot of adhesive, but okay. Better grips sounds good to me. And you can actually make it have a higher ammo capacity instead of one at a time. That's kind of slick. But we'll just shoot them in the face with one cannonball.
18-inch gun, you can just wrap some duct tape around, and that'll just sum up the barrel.
It literally does. Actually, the improved grip is just duct tape on the handle. It's pretty funny. let me do a quick save here. I'm just going to shoot one of my townspeople, and. surprisingly, does not harm random people. I'm gonna have to actually go somewhere and kill somebody with this, so it's gonna take a second.
Let's find out. Gosh!
Yeah, I have to travel. Oh my god. The horrible game makes me walk somewhere.
No, but you're not gonna get the leader perk because
he's saved.
Yeah, I saved.
He'll be alright, Joe. Calm down.
I just dislike the settlement building so much. These people are so dependent. They're so damn dependent.
I mean, they're helping you.
I don't get why raiders are attacking your settlement so much, even though you have like 500 defense. Why are you being targeted?
Oh, I target him. He's kind of a douche.
I just said nuts to the rest of them. So I protect the castle and I protect sanctuary, but the rest of them have to fend for themselves. But yeah, I used to get attacked all the time. All the time, even with a ridiculous amount of defense, which actually was kind of cool because you'd see all these turrets just light up and, you know, lay waste. But at the same time, it's really annoying.
Hmm. Like, you.
Oh, your settlement's under attack. Yes, very much like
that. Ah, your settlement's under attack. Connor, where the hell's your headshot?
I don't know. It's not letting me fast travel for some reason, and I'm very confused as to why.
You're golly, why can't you get that?
Citizen Zareus!
So, I have great news, everybody. Apparently, my controller just stopped working.
Oh, cool.
The left control stick has failed completely. I cannot move. So give me a second to get a new controller, and we'll...
No, we're fine. We're fine.
What are you playing on, Connor?
I'm playing on the X-Bone.
Oh.
How'd that work out?
Well, apparently very poorly.
Well, no, I don't know what it's like to completely waste money, so I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I like the Xbox One. There's only one place I've had trouble in Fallout 4, and that is the kind of area right around Good Neighbor. It just has a really high amount of NPC traffic that you're not like physically seeing, but it still has to simulate them in the background. So it does kind of slow down a little bit, especially with all the shit that's just kind of sitting in the road.
So what's it like?
What do you mean?
To own a dying system.
I actually only picked the Xbox One because my friends were still playing on it and I wanted to play with them. If it had been up to me, I would have convinced everyone to buy a PlayStation 4, but I didn't want to, you know, have to make new friends since people suck.
Yeah. So does the Xbox One.
Yeah, right. Just like my love life.
And Joe's.
Oh. Well, I mean, Joe's at least an author, so he can at least go to a bar.
Hey, Joe, you want to plug your book before we go?
Not particularly.
Why not? You got like 12 books and nobody's got.
Yeah, no, I have 6 books. They are under JT O'Connell. People can get them from Amazon.com if you really want.
From Amazon.com. Right now, JT O'Connell.com. Come and get your books.
Holy shit, you're a lot better at that than I am.
6 books. All for 19.
I mean, none of them have anything to do with Fallout, so.
I mean, it is a young adult dystopian novel. That's kind of the same thing, right?
That's true. I do have several of those.
So you lied.
One of them even has...
From the guy from Soul Survivors, JT O'Connell.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, this controller's... I'm so disappointed in Xbox for making pieces of shit controllers.
And systems.
I mean, I'm only upset about the controller right now, honestly. Because now I have to use my really, really gross sticky controller where the X button doesn't work all the way. Because,
did you keep that one by the sheep?
Yes, that one was too close to the sheep. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what you think.
I assume.
I spilled a Coca-Cola on it.
Right.
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 Well, at least that's what we're going to say.
What else? Marla, you got anything you want to give out your PSN so you can get stalkers? Or?
Yeah, whoever wants to add me. My PSN is Machine Gun Marley. That's M-A-R-L-I. As I mentioned earlier, I am a level 6 person. So if anyone wants to be friends with me, I'm kind of out there a little bit, you know, level 6.
Level 6, I mean.
Yeah.
Try to, if there's anybody who's listening who's lower than that, she'll probably accept your friend request. Because she needs to be probably. Like, oh, I'm the 4th highest on my list. Everybody's level 4.
I would have to think about adding some.
Wait, what are levels?
I don't know. What do you have?
How does that work?
Like, I have gamer score.
Gamer score.
Yeah.
What's your gamer score?
My e-penis is definitely bigger than most people's e-penises, so.
What is your gamer score?
I don't even know. I don't pay attention to it because I honestly think it's a waste of time trying to like go around and get achievements. I don't play games for the achievements. I mean, as
I play them for the experience.
What?
Who was that?
I don't know. That would
definitely be me. I'm the experience addict on.
Yeah. You're also a drug addict in the game, so
idiot savant. Hey, you know what? I used Jet once, and it was necessary. I was fighting something really difficult.
I learned it from watching you, Father. I learned it from watching you, Connor. You're boring me. I'm gonna sign off now.
Oh, I'm boring you. I'm boring you.
I thought you were free until.
Actually, like I really want us to sign off because I kind of want to play.
We're gonna go play, Marlo. Get your trophy score a little higher, there, loser.
Playing?
What?
I don't know that it's a good idea. I use Steam, so I mean it's the same service as this.
Oh, I've been playing this full time.
Evaporated water. I use evaporated water, you guys.
Sugar water. Sugar.
Our next episode, we're going to feature, I don't know, something. Some other achievement, I guess, or trophy. But we'll do the next episode when Marlo is a level 7, so it could be a few months to a year. So that'll be a good one. That'll be a good one.
No, we're going to try to stay regular.
Well, we'll try. As long as we take our Metamucil, we can stay regular, according to Marlo. Which is good.
Oh, you got me there.
You want to stay regular.
That's a great Fallout game.
Hey, so when's Fallout 5 coming out?
I think...
Probably before our next podcast.
Probably, considering Marlo's playing Final Fantasy games from 1994.
I have moved on a little bit. I plan to pick up Fallout again, but I've moved on.
Right. So.
Really?
I've been heavily immersed into Final Fantasy VII since they re-released it on the PlayStation Store.
Why didn't you get into it when it came out?
Actually, I felt it was a little overrated when it came out. So I tried.
I feel like people
it.
Feel the same way about you.
Of course. I tried playing it several times over the past several years, and I didn't actually fully give it like a real chance until really, I think it was like the beginning of December when it was released. So,
Well, enjoy playing old-ass games.
Oh, yay. I will. Vintage.
Vintage. You are a hipster and a half.
Yes.
Gross. Joe, are you playing Fallout at least, Joe?
I'm going to be playing Fallout 4.
Since we're doing a fucking podcast called Soul Survivors, plural.
I think we should change the name to like soul as in like the human soul, not soul of your foot.
I think we would get a totally different listenership.
Yeah.
I think we'll be devoted to the religion kind.
Anyway, I got 119 hours on record. I'm going to go for a lot more than that. But
119?
Yeah, Steam keeps track of all of your game time play since you bought a game.
And then you can tell exactly how much time in your life you've wasted.
Yeah, precisely.
But
it's not wasted because, like, for each hour that you play, what is it like? How long is an hour in the game, but in real life? You play a lot more in the game in real life, so it's all good.
Wait, can we talk about for a second before we leave that Joe bought Skyrim back in 2011 when it came out, and he still has not beaten that game.
I didn't buy it. I've got 360 hours on record for that one right now.
And he did not beat it.
Yeah.
What is saying on the record like that?
Because that's how Steam...
There's no record.
On here.
I have 356. Put that on the record.
That's how Steam shows it. No, I didn't beat it because, I did get it for free. I used a nice little special program they had for insiders. I got it for free, and I grinded. I just wanted to grind. I wanted to be top level before I actually started playing the missions because that's the sort of way I play.
And going on 5 years later?
I will go back to it eventually. We're doing a Fallout 4 podcast, so yeah. I will continue.
I think I have like 94 hours in evidence.
I think I stuck like 217 into Skyrim. Fallout New Vegas has got like 190. Fallout 3 is like only 150 though. So this slacked off. I lost interest because the whole I can't actually aim down sights thing in Fallout 3 really bothered me.
Yeah, that was really tough for me to deal with. Also, I was really late to getting into Fallout 3, but the Game of the Year edition.
It makes it easier if you play it entirely in third person, because then the whole you can't aim down sights thing doesn't bother you anymore. Because you just get used to the third-person perspective.
I will be honest, I played Fallout 3 in third-person a lot more than I would play Fallout 4 in third-person.
Fallout 4 is a really good mix between the genres.
Yeah, much better. Much better.
So everyone knows the Broadsider sucks.
Oh.
That bad?
Yeah, it's really not that great.
Well, we could get that great review in before we end the show.
I'm just saying, it's actually really horrible. Like, I've got a fat man, and I have more ammo for that than I have cannonballs.
Oh.
And... I just don't see the point.
And those don't weigh anything, cannonballs.
Do cannonballs not weigh anything?
Probably not.
That's awful.
Usually if they don't weigh anything, they don't hurt anything. So.
Well, no ammo weighs anything, Joe.
That's true.
Oh, I know we were hitting on this a little bit earlier, and I guess we're just keep going forever here. How do you feel about weapons not degrading in Fallout 4?
Oh, that's a good topic to bring up.
Big fan.
You're a fan? Well, yeah, because it makes it easier for, you know, joke players like yourself.
Ooh. No, it's because...
Oh, fit!
In Fallout, I can understand the conditioning system for weapons and armor and stuff, but it was a little excessive. Okay, you shoot 3 magazines of ammo out of this Chinese assault rifle, and you basically have to rebuild the thing from ground up.
Yeah, it was a little, it was a little cheap.
It was a little excessive.
I feel like I liked the weapon degradation system, but yes, I agree with Joe. It was too much too fast. Certain guns would degrade too quickly. I am happy that I don't have to deal with it now in Fallout 4, and I'm glad that they spent more time on a weapon customization system and upgrade system than on repairing, because basically all of our time that we used to spend repairing our stuff is now being spent making crafting. It better.
Yeah.
But I do wish there was a maintenance process that you still had to do, because it gets to the point, if you just max out your science and gun nut real fast, you build a super weapon then use it for the rest of the game.
Well, the other benefit is that with the conditioning for weapons, that if you became over encumbered, you were carrying too much, you would repair some weapons, discard some broken parts, and now you've got some space available to pick up other items.
Yeah, I did like that, because if I had like 30 pistols, I could just make just one really good pistol.
Right, exactly. And you're not losing value, because the value that's in each of these guns is combined to a whole new value, but in one gun.
Right. But I feel like they should have brought it back at least for like survival mode or hard even. You know what I mean?
Right.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, survival mode is a little disappointing, to be honest.
Well, we're the sole survivors, so.
Oh yeah, the sole survivors coming to you on a Tuesday.
I'm Three Dog.
Ow-woo!
All right, so next episode we'll focus on another achievement, another trophy, whatever you want to call it. I do want to get some love advice from Joe on the next episode.
Oh, I've love line with Joe.
Everything you need.
So I do want to have Joe talk about his relationships in the Commonwealth.
And the L word.
And the L word, which is love.
Which I thought
it could mean other things.
It could
mean other things.
Connor, I would like, what do you want to do next time?
I'm probably going to tell you about my relationship with my dog.
Okay.
Something weird. I'll come up with some new role.
Is it as weird as with the sheep? Or
No, the sheep was the weirdest thing. These people don't know about the sheep yet.
Oh, they know about the sheep.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty easy to infer.
Oh, okay. Well, we can hit on the sheep, and then we can talk about some of the advantages of perk building and using dog meat in combat.
Okay. I will look forward to hearing that. So until next time, my name is Ryan.
My name is Marla.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Connor. God damn it, Joe.
Farmers Insurance knows that when you're in the car and that song comes on. No, not that one. Ah, yes, that's the one. You have no choice but to pull out your imaginary drumsticks and smash those cymbals and stomp on that kick pedal, which unfortunately is also known as the accelerator pedal. And we covered it. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Click for more.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Critics agree. Dora and the Lost City of Gold is the family film you've been searching for.
Go get it!
It's packed with action, full of surprises, and will knock your boots off.
The discovery of a lifetime.
Dora and the Lost City of Gold. Rated PG. Now playing.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.